Hi, this is Harold. Welcome to Transformation's weekly message and podcast. I'm glad you are making time for this week's teaching. I will have more to say at the end of today's message, but for now, let's see what God wants to teach us. May God bless your hearing, understanding. Good morning, everybody. It's great to be here, Pastor Harold, and welcome to everyone and those listening on demand. We are glad you're with us as well. We are starting an Advent message series today, and the Advent series is titled The Arrival, Embracing the Hope of Christ's Coming. And that's the name of this message series for 4 weeks as we lead into Christmas. And today's message is titled Anchored in Hope, The Prophecy of Christ's Arrival. And our focus text today will be Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 through 7. And the introduction to the series is really the arrival. And again, as we begin this series, and Advent, you know, it's a season of anticipation. I don't know what your favorite time of the year is, if it's Advent, if it's Lent, or whatever. Advent's a time to prepare to celebrate for the first coming of Jesus in Bethlehem and look forward to his glorious return. And before we dive into this message, I think the thing that's really critical, and I spent a lot of time on this particular subject, writing about it, talking about it, but, you know, when we think about God, you know, and we think about Jesus, it's more than just an abstract idea. You know, I think that's really important to understand because it's so many faiths. There's like 4,300 religions in the world. There's 37 million different churches. There's 45,000 different denominations of Christianity alone throughout the world, believe that or not. But when you think about God, the concept of God, for many, it's just an abstraction. There's a power out there. It's supernatural. It's out there in the world. Can't really explain it. It's a lot of mystery behind it. Don't really give ourselves to it. And that abstraction leaves a lot of people hopeless this time of year. I mean, hopeless year round because they don't have a real tangible hope. When you think about Jesus, it's more than an abstraction. It's Jesus, God incarnate. So it's God with flesh on. You know, that's a big difference in the world, when at least it was in my faith, to really give myself to a Jesus-looking God and to leave a Jesus-centered life. It's more than some supernatural idea or some frothy appeal to live a spiritual life. It's Jesus came, Jesus modeled, Jesus instructed, Jesus commanded, and gave us the model for living. He gave it to us and showed it to us alive in action, how to live a life of humility and self-sacrifice, self-sacrificial love, if you would, to live an other-centered life, to live a life where you're focused on what you can do for the world, not what you can get out of the world. And most importantly, to love everybody, including our enemies. And Jesus modeled that. And he stepped into history, and not just as an earthly being, but as flesh and blood, who lived among us and walked where we walk and experienced what we experience. And I think that's a main point to think about when it comes to your faith, especially as a Christian, as following a Jesus-looking God, that it's more than just an abstraction. Because that truth, I think, changes everything. At least it does for me. And it's why following a Jesus-looking God, living Jesus-centered life is meaningful, but it's also deeply practical. Because I have a model to look after. I have a model to see, and I can visualize it. I can walk with it. And to me, that's huge when you're trying to turn your own life over to God and live differently than how the world commands us to live or begs us to live, right? So Jesus reveals the heart of God in ways we can understand it. Because for years, until Jesus came, there was a lot of mystery behind it. And you saw that in the religious teachers and just different models of faith throughout that time, people struggling to try to grasp what does it really mean? You know, even the Pharisees and the Sadducees struggled to really put it all together. And Jesus came and told them basically you had it all wrong, you know. You guys are missing the boat here. And if you went with us last week to see the Bonhoeffer movie, you remember that they played that out big time in that screen. I mean, even Bonhoeffer, who was portrayed in the movie, pointed that out. He came to preach against you religious people more than anybody because you just had it all wrong on what it means to live a Jesus-centered life. And so Jesus models that. So I think he took away some of that mystery. What does it really mean? You know, even with the rich young ruler, what is the most important commandments? What do I do here? And he modeled that. And so I think that's just really important as you think about Advent, as we step into it. When we talk about hope today, that your hope is in more than an abstraction. You know, and it's more than just what's going to come, but it's what's here today already, what's it should be inside you. So I think that's important. Advent reminds us that our heart is not an abstract idea, but a person, Jesus Christ, who life, death, and resurrection prove, I think, that God's promises are real. Amen. And there's thousands of promises in the Bible. And Advent is talking about these promises. It's what's to come. But it's not just what's to come when we die, but it's what's to come in our hearts and in the full transformation. If you think about the soul, the way I would define the soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. And that works for, that's more than just an abstraction to say, well, it's a soul situation. Well, what does that even mean? Well, it means it's your mind. You know, it's your will, it's your emotions. This is what makes you as a human being. It's what makes you different from everybody else on the planet. And I think that's important, really important, as we get into this. And so I think the resurrection proves that God's promises are real. His love is unfailing, and his light shines in the darkness. And we're going to talk about that a little bit today as we talk about it and get into that. Our scripture reading, I'm going to read it here in a minute, is Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 through 7. You'll see it here on the screen. Peggy, if you want to throw those up for us as we go through it, it'd be great. So I'm going to read it. Here we go. For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and its peace will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity. The passionate commitment of the Lord of Heaven's armies will make this happen. May God bless your hearing, understanding, and application of Scripture. So that's a powerful testimony written 700 years before Jesus came. 700 years before Jesus walked earth. This prophecy was written, and it's before Jesus' birth. It's before he speaks of hope. There's no vague optimism, but it's a certain rooted in God's promise that he will send a Savior. And that's really what the Old Testament was about. The commandments, the 613 laws in Judaism. I mean, the real purpose of that was to show you that you're a sinner, that you're fatally flawed, that you're separated from God. You know, and it was also to increase the sin in your life, to increase the reality of your flawness, because you can't live into those 613 laws on your own power. It's impossible. You have to have something power greater yourself. So that the law was really meant to show you your need for a Savior. That you can't do this. God, I can't do this. We watch it time and time again in the Old Testament. People were just like, I can't do it. I can't live into it. Which is really a big part of the point of the whole passage was to do that. So we're going to explore some of that today, you know, and we're going to explore three truths about hope in our message today from this passage. And the first one is hope is rooted in God's promises. And again, 2/3 of the prophecies in the Bible have already come true. 2/3. So if 2/3 has already happened, why can't I put my faith and trust in the other third? Now, our self-centeredness wants it to be on our watch, on our dime. We want to see the crystal ball. We want to know when it's happening. And you have lots of people that feed into that desire. Because if you turn on, like, on the AM radio stations tonight, right when they do the UFO segments, will come these prophecy guys. That, you know, the snow landed just the right day, the stars aligned, and the comet flew over here. So this means this, it means that. And you get all these things. Remember the Ivan Brownings with the earthquake things and Y2K and all those types of things? You all live through those things. It's that kind of stuff. And Jesus himself said, the Lord, the Son of Man, does not know when all this is going to go down. So if the one who's professing is saying, I don't know when it's going down, why does some AM DJ or some radical, you know, pastor out there think that they know? And I wouldn't get lost in that. It's just God's time on God's dime. And my job is to live in the moment, be present, and fully coherent to what's going on. So Isaiah begins his promise with, for a child is born to us, a son is given to us. And this hope didn't just originate from his imagination like he's writing some song or something. This is from God himself. And in a time of fear and turmoil, if you go back to Isaiah's story, his audience clung to the promise of a Savior because the world was in desperate times. I mean, it was just a desperate situation. We didn't have, just think about it. It could be tough today. Well, they didn't have internet. They didn't have electricity. They didn't have a car. You know, and it's when it's hot, it's hot. When it's cold, and that's just the way it is, and you deal with it. But it wasn't just that. It was the oppression, the injustice that was going on in their lives. And they were begging for a Savior in their life. Many of you wait on packages during the holidays. Many of you use this company, Amazon, to order from today. But when you get that little notice that, hey, your package has been shipped, what? You get hopeful that it's actually going to arrive. You expect it to arrive. Am I crazy? I mean, Susie will tell me, hey, we got packages coming today. She expects things to happen. And we have hope that it'll happen. Why? Because we've seen it happen. We've seen Amazon guy show up and deliver the package, as promised, or the UPS guy, or the United States Postal Service. When you get those notifications, it's out for delivery. You don't question if it's coming or not, right? You know it's going to be here. And you know it's on its way. So God's promises are even more reliable than that. And that's really important, I think, to know if you're wherever you're at in the seasons of life. And we all go through different seasons. You hear me talk about them all the time. Where everybody here is going through a different season. You may be high, you may be low, you may be somewhere in the middle. We're all in a conflict, or we're getting ready to come out of a conflict, or we're getting ready to go into one. And age, and illness, and time, and money, and kids, and all the stuff that life throws at us, all of us have to deal with it. But in that, we can have hope in God's promises. And I think that's really important. You can count on it. When he says he'll do something, he'll do it. And Jesus promises that there's better things to come. But while you're here, there's work for you to do. And if you do that work, if you live into this way of life, you're going to have some of these promises come true. Not necessarily in material things, but in your soul, in your mind, your will, your emotions will be changed. You won't see the world the same as you used to. And I think that's important because, that's how my life is today. How I live my life is through a whole different lens than it was, you know, almost 40 years ago. I mean, I can't even begin to tell you how different my life is today. And it's because these promises we're talking about. John Wesley, he put it beautiful himself. He says, the best of all is God is with us. Not in the future, but with us now in the presence of the Holy Spirit through each other. Jane brought up that ministry. You're going to take a tag. You go buy gifts. She hands them off. I mean, somebody's going to open that, and they're going to be blessed by it. And they don't necessarily have to know where it came from, but it's just everything working together for good. And that's what we got to think about during the holiday season, you know, and live into that. This truth anchors us in hope, and that God who makes promises also fulfills them. So when we read all these thousands of promises in the Bible, it's true, but when we think about Jesus, more than an abstraction, Jesus actually stepping into the life among us makes it even more true. And that's what we really got to hang on to. So if you're going to think about it from an application process, you know, if I'm going to apply this to my life, what promises of God are you holding on to this Advent season? So what are the promises this particular season we're in, 2024? What are you hanging on to? What are you grasping on? Whether it's this promise that he'll never leave you, which we see in Deuteronomy 31:6, or his assurance that his plans are for good, Jeremiah 29:11, which is one of Susie's favorite scriptures. Advent calls us to anchor our hope in the unshakable promises of God. And I hope that we can do that. I hope that you can do that. Just trust the process. I tell people this all the time, just trust the process. And I deal with a lot of broken people whose lives are very broken. I worked with a young man all week who had to have somebody come over and take his guns from his house because of suicide temptations. And I met with him last week, and we spent a lot of time together. And exactly what I told him, it's already okay. You're already okay. You just don't see it yet. I can see it easily. You're going to be all right. And you just got to trust the process. And the process is stay centered spiritually. And you're going to be okay. And it's just the truth. No matter how far down the scale. I have another friend. Some of you met Forrest here a few Christmas Eves. He came out here a few Christmas Eves ago and hung out with us on Christmas Eve. But his daughter is 45. And she has terminal cancer. And she's really struggling. She's only got a short time to be with us. And he's trying to navigate that. And try to work and try to deal with all on his own. And that's a real tough time for him. But even in that dark moment, you can still have hope that God is with us. And you got people with us working through that, shoulder to shoulder, through that crisis. And so he's dealing with that right now. So these are just people I'm engaged with this week alone that are dealing with this turbulence and challenging times. And it's all of us. All of us have our stuff. if we're honest. We all got stuff that we're going through. You might be riding a really good high, and if you are, ride it. You know, celebrate it, because I guarantee you the wheels will come off eventually. Something's going to get into your spokes and rock your world. The second point is hope shines brightness in darkness. And then we'll just lift it up, some of those darkness for people. Isaiah's prophecy came true during one of Israel's darkest times. War, oppression, uncertainty, as I've already lifted up. Yet Isaiah boldly proclaimed, and listen to what he said, and I quote, "The government will rest on his shoulders." And he's not talking about the world system government. He's talking about the rulers of this world, the ultimate second coming, that everything's going to change when Jesus comes this and brings it back to where it was originally supposed to be. His government and its peace will never end. And this is the book of Revelation. This is the second coming. This hope wasn't based on circumstances, but God's unchanging character. God's a God of love. God's a love of justice. You know, and God's holy. So everything's going to be holy. If it isn't made holy, it will be. And I don't know if you've ever experienced a blackout. And I'm not talking about the blackout where you drank too much the night before. I'm talking about when you just didn't have any light. You know, the lights went out and you're looking around. Even for the smallest little candle. Now we have our phones. We can turn on our phones and get our little camera phones out. But just think about that being lost in the dark. And when it goes out, it can be a scary moment. There wasn't that many years ago I was out hunting. Well, it was several years ago. Actually, it was down in Sullivan, Missouri. But I made the foolish mistake to go out hunting and realize even after I climbed up in a tree and I was in a foreign space. I had never been here before. And I was back deep in the woods and my truck's up here on the logging road. And I realized I didn't have my flashlight with me, but I wasn't willing to get down and walk back and get it. And I just said, all I got to do is when I get out of here is walk straight up that hill. And there was no moon out. And I waited till it got as dark as it could be. And I climbed down that tree. And I mean, you can't see anything. And I didn't have no phone, no light, nothing. And I started walking the right direction, but somewhere I got off the path just a little bit. And next thing you know, a half hour goes by, and I can't see nothing. And everything's crashing through the woods. And of course, you're like, oh, it's starting to get cold out. And I'm like, man, I'm going to be out here all night. It was a hopeless feeling. It was like, yeah, I'm going to be stuck out here all night. I have no idea where I'm at. I got stickers, cuts on my face now from walking in the sticker bushes. And I sat down. I said, all right, Lord, lesson learned. I said, I'm going to get up. I'm going to look for a light. And I don't care if I got to walk till the sun comes up. I'm just going to keep walking towards that light. And I got up and I didn't walk 50 yards. I was on the logger and I'm like, thank you, Jesus. You know, I was never so excited to be on a road again. But that's the point, is that even in those darkest times that we can have hope that God's light and God's hope will illuminate those times and guide us and remind us that the darkness won't last forever. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who we've seen last week, had this quote, "The celebration of Advent is possible only to those who are troubled in soul." I mean, think about this. This is that you really realize the truth about who you are. And again, the soul being your mind, your will, and your emotions. Who knows themselves to be poor and imperfect, and who look forward to something greater to come. Dietrich Bonhoeffer. So in several weeks ago, you watched a message from the Reverend Paul Washer. And Paul said this, if you remember this in the message series, and I thought it was a really powerful quote that he said. And he's talking about humanity in a broad stroke. The problem with humans is that they're weak. The real problem with humans is they don't know how weak they really are. And I love that quote from him when he made that statement in that video message you watched. Powerful message. And this is what Dietrich Bonhoeffer is saying here, is that when we're lost in that, you know, if you know how broken you are, you know you're fatally flawed. You know you're apart from yourself. You can't fix yourself. I can't change anybody. I had a wise man tell me a long time ago, Harold, nothing will mess you up quicker than trying to change somebody. You know, people in our lives. Just let them be who they're going to be. Just be an example. Encourage them. Love them. Pray for them. But you can't change them, especially your kids and the people you love the most, as much as you like to. So you just love them where they're at. But this Advent season, this Advent hope doesn't ignore the darkness. It declares that light is coming. So no matter what darkness is in your life, and we all have periods of it, that light is coming. And when I watch people that are so lost in this political arena, I know people that are just absolutely devastated how the election come out. I mean, absolutely crushed that the election turned out the way it did. The world's going to end. It's going to be terrible. The next 4 years, I was like, man, I wouldn't want to put my hope in that. I mean, I feel so grateful that I don't put my hope in that. I put my hope in what we're talking about today. And that's what I'm called to live in. I don't care who won the election. I'm good because I'm following a Jesus-looking God, living a Jesus-centered life. I'm not lost in all that stuff. But there's some people I know are just, man, they're still walking around with a big frown on their face, angry, bitter, not happy about any of it. You know how light, some of you have had this. You know how important light is in your life if you've fumbled around in the dark in your house trying to go from point A to point B and stub your toe. Anybody ever done that? You ever just smack your toe in the middle of the night? You're like, oh, man. And you just, on the coffee table. Anybody? I mean, come on. I mean, it's no fun. I mean, it's absolutely no fun. And Advent reminds us that Jesus is light breaking into our darkness. And I think we got to hang on to that. So, again, from an application standpoint, thinking about that, internalizing it, asking ourselves this reflection question, what darkness are you feeling right now in your life? And everybody has it. What is it? Advent's hope says this: the light has come and the darkness cannot overcome it. Whether it's financial struggles, health challenges, or relational pain, what is the darkness in your life? Do I have faith in that darkness? And our third point is Jesus fulfills our hope. And this is really what we got to hang on to, especially this time of the year. Isaiah's prophecy points directly to Jesus. I mean, directly to him. And I quote, "And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace," end quote. So Jesus is not some distant savior, some abstraction out there in the world, right? He's not a metaphorical figure. He is the fulfillment of every hope humanity ever longed for. Jesus came to break this seal between us and God. Give us a front row seat, first line access. Don't have to go through anybody. You know, you don't have to go through a party line. You don't have to go through an operator. You have direct access to the creator of everything in your life. Yes, there's mystery in it. But you think about, we should be excited about that. Not just when we die, but I mean just in the coming days. It's just like a kid who's ready for Christmas. We got little ones here. You know how excited they get. Our little ones that were with us this week are only, well, Atlas is not two. He'll be two in February, and he'll be three in January. This concept really hasn't hit them yet. They're just excited about whatever. Atlas doesn't take much to get excited, but Anna's a little bit more needy. But they get excited about certain things, and it's fun to watch them. It's fun to watch kids. When Danielle was three, I think of this picture. Danielle's the mama of Anna and Atlas. She's 32 today. But when she was three, at Christmas Eve, I put her to bed in her bedroom, and she wanted a dollhouse, and I was putting this dollhouse together for her. And as I'm putting it together, I hear some sniveling. I hear sniveling. I go, what? What is that? And I turn off the TV, and I could hear it. I go, she's crying. Why are you crying on Christmas Eve? And I open the door, and I went in there, and of course, she's got tears pouring down her face, and I sit down in the bed with her. I said, what's going on? Why are you crying? She goes, and Rob, you're going to love this. She goes, you got to promise me something, Dad. And I said, what's that? She goes, you got to promise. I said, all right, pinky promise. What is it? She goes, you got to promise you won't shoot any of Santa's reindeers when they land on the roof tonight. Because I just came home from deer hunting. I said, I could promise you I will not shoot any reindeer of Santa's tonight. You promise? I said, I promise. You know, because they're anticipating things to happen. They don't want Dad messing it up, is the bottom line. So Jesus is our ultimate Christmas morning. As a child gets excited about Christmas, we should get excited about a long-awaited fulfillment of God's promises. C.S. Lewis, one of my favorite theologians, said this: hope is one of the theological virtues, a continued looking forward to the eternal world. And it's not just what's to come. and when you die. It's about right now. You know, what's to come tomorrow, the next day in your life, spiritually centered, Jesus centered, looking through a different lens. I think it's so important. And how do we apply that, right? How do we apply it? Jesus doesn't just bring us hope for life. He gives us hope for not just life, but the life to come. So we have that rest assurance that, well, that's a lot of mystery because nobody can really explain it. Lots of people try, but then there's no teeth to it. We just know that Jesus said, I'm going to go prepare my house has many rooms, and I'll go ahead of you to prepare a room for you. What that looks like, they call it paradise. You know, but we don't really know the ins and outs of all of that. Scripture gives us some hints, but not really. So you just have to trust it on faith that it's going to be better than this life. It's going to be better than anything you could ever imagine. But that said, you can't just live your life waiting for that day. You need to live in the present. Advent's right here, right now, and that hope. So the things you think about are, if we're going to apply it to ourselves right now, is, are you hoping for temporary things, success, possessions, or relationships? And Advent invites us to shift our focus on Jesus for everlasting peace and joy in our life. So stuff will come, stuff will go. I mean, we're trying to find a house to buy right now. It's terrible. It's not. I hate it because it consumes so much time. You know, we got a radius around Eureka we're trying to fit into. We put an offer on a house. Supposed to find out at 10 o'clock this morning if we got it. We didn't get it. You know, and that's happened like 5 times already. You know, and so here we are again, right back to the drawing board, trying to get it. But my hope is not in that. That's just part of life. You know, I'm not going to be the end of the world, walk around like droopy all day or Eeyore because it didn't go through. God's got something better in store, I guess. That's kind of how I look at it. But that's my point. Life comes, life goes. It's terrible today, not so bad tomorrow. You know, and so that's what we want to hang on to, so that our joy should come from following Jesus. And it really has for me for a long time. And so I just encourage you to really think about that. So what are our takeaways for today? Number one, hope is rooted in God's promises. This is where we should be. Trust that what God has promised, He will fulfill. Doesn't mean you'll have all the wealth of the world or you'll drive a pink Cadillac, you know, or that the Chiefs will win the Super Bowl. Doesn't mean any of that. It just means that you're going to be okay. Guess what? You're already okay. And just hang on to that. You're already okay. You know, it's really important. Number two, hope shines brightest in darkness. So if you're really honest with yourself, when you're going through the darkest times, it's when you're as close to God as you'll ever be. Because when the lights are white and the lights are green, your teeth are white and the sky's blue, the sun's shining, your self-centeredness kicks in. You're not really relying on God too heavily. You think about your most critical turning points in your life. I can promise you it's been at the darkest points of your life. When you had nothing else to do but rely on God. I love what a woman said one time. She was in a spiritual gathering and she was giving praise in the group for God answering a prayer. And one of the skeptics in the group said, "How do you know it was God that answered your prayer?" And she said, "Because I didn't ask anybody else." And I just love that, right? And number three, hope is fulfilled in Christ. True hope is found in Christ alone, not our circumstances. So your circumstances will come, they will go. They'll be all right some days. Some days they won't. Advent, friends, is a season of hope. A hope not rooted in wishful thinking, but in the certainty of Jesus and Jesus alone. And I hope you hang on to that. Isaiah's prophecy reminds us that the Savior has come and will come again. You know, in person. And whatever you're facing today, hold on to this truth. The King of Kings was born in Bethlehem, and He fulfills every promise. Let this Advent season reignite your hope. It does me every year. I get pumped about it every year. And let it remind you that Jesus is with us, for us, and is coming back for us. And we can take that to the bank, and we can have peace in that. And I hope you do. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the unshakable hope we have in Jesus. As we light the prophecy candle, we celebrate the truth of your promises. The brilliance of your light piercing the darkness and the steadfastness of your unfailing love. Teach us to trust you deeply, to anchor our hearts firmly in Christ, and to live as reflections of your hope in the world longing for redemption. We place all our hope in Jesus, our wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. In his holy name we pray these things. And all God's people said, amen. Hi again, this is Harold. Thanks for listening to our weekly message and podcast. I hope we have shared something helpful to you wherever you are in your spiritual journey. Just so you know more about us, we are Transformation Church. We are a church for people who aren't in the church. We are a Jesus-centered community made up of everyday people just like you. We refer to ourselves as Transformers, committed to helping God change the world. We meet on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. at our House Springs campus. We are moving and launching a new campus soon in Eureka, Missouri, scheduled to launch on April 6, 2025, and we would love for you to join us and be a part of this Jesus revolution. We also meet during the week in smaller groups called house churches, and that's how we make it relational. We regularly hear from people from all over who are engaging in personal and group studies based on our teaching, and we would love to know if that is happening where you are. If you want to connect with us, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Pinterest, Instagram, Vimeo, YouTube, and TikTok. You can also download our app for free and for fun from your favorite app store. You can find the download link in the show notes or on our website at www.transformerforlife.org. That's www.transformer4life.org. Inside our app or on our website, you can access all our available audio and video teachings and view and download our bulletin, sermon notes, slides, and discussion questions. It's all there for you. Lastly, if you want to learn more about supporting Transformation Church with your time, talent, and finances, and what it takes to become a transformer, please visit our website. God loves generous people, and so do we. So a gift of any amount of your time, talent, and finances is much appreciated. Hey, thanks for being a member of our extended Jesus-centered community. I'm glad we are on this journey together, walking shoulder to shoulder, helping people experience a Jesus-centered life and discovering the kingdom of God. An application of God's word and message.